Jag har egentligen fortsätta lite på vad Mark var inne på tidigare.
Actually, I'd like to continue to speak about what Mark was saying earlier.
Och jag tror alla kan skriva under på att frälsning är det absolut viktigaste i livet.
I think we can all agree that salvation is the most important thing in this life.
Men när vi har blivit frälsta så har Gud en plan för oss.
But when we have been saved, God has a plan for us.
Det är det vi talar om idag.
And that's what I would like to talk about today.
Att söka Guds vilja och låta Gud göra hela jobbet.
To seek the will of God and let God do the work.
Och det är tre punkter vi vill tala om idag.
And there are three points I want to speak about today.
Guds början.
It's the God's beginning.
Guds fortsättning.
God's continuation.
Och Guds avslutning.
And God's finishing.
Och jag vill utgå idag från Filipperbrevet 1:6.
And I'd like to speak from Philippians 1:6.
Jag är övertygad om att han som har börjat ett gott verk i er också ska fullborda det intill Kristi Jesu dag.
I'm convinced that he who began a good work in you will finish that until the day of the Lord.
Och vad är skriften säger?
And what is that the scriptures are saying?
Gud börjar ett gott verk i alla människor.
God begins a good work in all people.
Han vill fortsätta det.
He wants to continue that.
Och avsluta det.
And he also wants to finish that.
Och det vill säga att Gud har en plan för alla oss människor.
So God has a plan for all us.
Och det är en god plan.
And it's a great plan.
Och jag hoppas inte i alla fall jag.
Oftentimes, at least in my case,
man gör upp hela livet här.
You are planning your entire life.
Allting är planerat.
Everything is planned.
Och man räknar inte med Gud i det här.
But you don't really count God into, or you don't have God in the picture.
Så det blir att när man planerar någonting där, då kör vi.
So I plan something here, and then I just go ahead.
Och det bara skiter fullständigt.
And it just goes haywire.
Ingenting funkar.
Nothing works.
Man blir arg på Gud.
And you get angry with God.
Välsigna min plan, Gud.
I said, bless my plan, God.
Men varför ska han göra det när han har någonting så mycket bättre för oss?
But why should he do that when he has something much greater for us?
Den kärleks för Gud vi har.
It's a loving God that we have.
Som älskar oss över mer än någonting annat.
He loves us beyond anything we can
och
imagine.
Och han vill att vi ska följa den plan.
And he wants us to follow that plan.
Och när vi kan känna oss garanterat trygga.
And when we can feel secure.
Det är när vi söker Herren och låter honom vägleda oss.
That's when we seek the Lord and we allow him to guide us.
Då vi inte faller.
That's when we are not failing.
Och därför vill jag läsa från andra krönikeboken 26.
Therefore I want to read from 2 Chronicles chapter 26.
Vers 3 till och med 5.
Verses 3 to 5.
Och det är Josia som var kung i Juda.
Second Chronicles 26, right? Yes. Yeah, it's Uzziah who was king.
Uzziah var 16 år när han blev kung och han regerade 52 år i Jerusalem. Hans mor hette Jekolja och var från Jerusalem. Han gjorde det som var rätt i Herrens ögon, alldeles som hans far Amasja hade gjort. Han rågfrågade Gud så länge Zakaria levde. Han som lärde honom förstå Guds syner. Och så länge han sökte Herren lät Gud det gå väl för honom.
Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah who had understanding in the visions of God and as long as he sought the Lord God made him prosper.
Och vad vi ser här, vi ser att han gjorde det som var rätt i Herrens ögon.
So what is it that we see here? He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord.
Och han rådfrågade Gud.
And he was also asking counsel from God.
Och Gud vägledde honom och välsignade honom.
And God led him and blessed him.
Det blir kul sen när man läser vidare här i andra stycket.
It's pretty interesting when we continue to read in the second part of the passage.
För det gick väldigt bra för honom nämligen kungen.
Because things went very well for the king.
När han blev högmodig
But he got very proud.
För att Gud hade startat ett verk i honom.
Because God had started a work in him.
Han hade fortsatt det.
He had continued that.
Han hade gjort det bra, men han tog kär för det.
He had done a good work in him, but he took the honor up for it.
Och han fick ett svar för det, och det gick så väl för honom.
And actually, he was responsible. He had to be responsible.
Men just det att söka Guds vilja.
But the thing is that we seek the will of God.
Det kommer gå bra för oss. Det står här.
And it says here that it will go well.
Så länge han sökte Herren, lät Gud det gå väl för honom.
As long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him.
Och vi har den möjligheten.
And we have that opportunity.
Att följa Guds plan.
To follow the plan of God.
Gå i hans vilja.
Walk according to his will.
Det är fantastiskt.
That it is fantastic.
Så be Gud att vägleda dig.
So pray that God will lead you.
Och han kommer göra det.
And he will do it.
Pröva Guds vilja.
Test the will of God.
Vi är evigt säkra.
And we are eternally secure.
Det är då vi inte faller.
And that's when we are not failing.
Det är när vi gör de planerna utan att räkna med Gud.
When we plan without counting God, counting with God.
Det är då vi faller.
That's when we fail.
Men vi kommer aldrig falla när vi följer Guds vilja.
But if we follow the will of the Lord, we will never fail.
För om Gud är för oss, vem kan vara emot oss?
Because if God is for us, who can be against
Amen.
Us?
Amen. Amen. Fantastiskt. Så Herre, välsigna de här tankarna.
So Lord, bless these thoughts.
Vi har möjlighet att gå i din plan, Herre.
Thank you that we have the opportunity to walk in your will.
Din vilja är god.
Your will is good.
Du vill det bästa för oss i våra liv.
You want the best for us in our lives. So bless this time together.
It is love.
In your name. Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. Mark's portion, thank you for Jonathan's word here. And we pray that we will hide these things in our hearts, Lord. And now we pray that you will also speak to us through these few verses that we will expand on this morning in your precious name. Amen. So, you know, sometimes our prayer life is kind of weak. We feel that we are not really praying as much as maybe we like to do. And what is prayer? I mean, prayer is talking to God. Prayer is thanking God. Prayer is requesting things from God. But as we are growing in our faith, we also learn to pray in a different way. We learn what we sometimes call spiritual warfare. And what is spiritual warfare? The Bible says that this world is a fallen world. And it means that it's not exactly the way it once was. Something has gone wrong. We call that the fall. And Adam and Eve, the first people, sinned. Sin came into the world and affected the whole human race. But behind that, we also have a fallen angelic world. There are angels out there who disobeyed God at one point in history, and they fell. And they are called demons. And these demons are out there, and they have one thing in mind. And that is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is in John 10:10. They are organized by Satan. So they are not just randomly doing things. If you study Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12, you'll find that they are organized just like an earthly army. They have ranks, officers. It's a very, very organized warfare that they are conducting. So in other words, we need to understand certain things about this warfare, because if you go into a war and you're ill prepared, you know, you're not prepared at all, chances are great that you will be wounded. And it's not like we have not been equipped. God has given us everything that we need to have in order to stand in this battle and even fight back in this battle. So we're going to talk about mighty weapons against spiritual strongholds. That's a long title, but powerful weapons against spiritual strongholds. And we're gonna do three things this morning. We're gonna define a stronghold, we're gonna detect a stronghold, and we're gonna demolish a stronghold. So we're not gonna do it, but we're gonna tell you how to do it. So let's begin with defining a stronghold. And in order to do that, we need to read 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 4 to 6. And that will be our main text this morning. So 2 Corinthians 10 and can't find my Bible, and I can't turn the pages. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 to 6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So there is a word here that is translated in this New King James Version as stronghold. And what is a stronghold? The Greek word actually is used only here in the New Testament. It's not used in any other place. And it actually speaks of a castle, you know, a place where you cannot attack and overcome. You know, it's a safe place. You know, you don't even bother. Maybe some of you have been to, you know, places in the world. You know, there are mountains and so on, and then there is a castle or some type of a stronghold there, and you know, the people were living there, and you couldn't attack them. They were safe in that place. And that's the meaning of it. But it is interesting, but figuratively speaking, it is actually used for a false argument in which you are seeking shelter, okay? So it's a false argument in which you seek shelter. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what it is. You're trying to escape reality. So I have a stronghold in my life, and I go into this stronghold, and I feel safe, you know. But it's actually a false argument. It's just something that I built up in my mind. It's not really connected to reality, and so on. And Satan is the father of lies in John 8:44, and he wants to lie to us about different things, and he wants to establish these strongholds in our lives. For example, it could be lust. It could be greed, it could be rejection, or a poor self-image, you know, one of these things, or something else. And he wants to go after us so that we entertain these thoughts, and he wants to attack us in this area over and over and over again until we are down. And, you know, he wants us to have divided minds. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 8, talks about having a divided mind. It means that I go to church, you know, I believe certain things, but I also listen to other sources. I also draw from other things. And the result is that I have a divided mind. And in a divided mind, Satan can come in and establish a stronghold. And, you know, we can't make God disappointed. I don't know if that surprises you. Why is that? Because God knows the end from the beginning in Isaiah 46:10. So it's not like, oh, why did you do that? And it's like, I can't believe she did that. I mean, come on. We can't disappoint God in that sense. However, we are building up these condemnation in our hearts, you know, and Satan is saying, well, don't even try, you will fail. Just take it easy, accept things the way they are, you know, if you have a weakness, you have a problem, you have this, you have that, that's the way, you know, that's who you are. No, it's not who you are. It's a stronghold. If I'm a new creation in Christ, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that is not who I am. It's just something that Satan has placed in our minds, and we have a wrong thinking, and when things are going a certain way, we escape to this stronghold. And that is the definition of a stronghold. Then we're going to look at how to detect a stronghold. How is a stronghold established? Some of them are not being established on a volunteer basis. It may be like an involuntary basis, meaning that I grew up in a family, in a culture, I have a set of circumstances, and I'm being lied to, I see certain things, and it affects me. And there is a stronghold, you know. I feel rejected because I am rejected all the time, whatever it is. So those are there, but they're also strongholds that are being established because we simply willfully go against the will of God. And it begins with a thought, and we know how we are bombarded with thoughts every day, you know, especially today, because I mean there's always a message for us somewhere. You know, we hear so many things, we listen to so many things. So there's a thought, and then I stop and I start meditating on it. You know, I'm giving it some room. You know, I stop there and I'm thinking like, yeah, that's right. You know, maybe it is that way. So I start entertaining these thoughts, okay? And then after a while, it becomes my own, my way of thinking. And now I'm thinking along these lines all the time. And eventually, I will start acting based upon these ideas that I now have established. And now, all of a sudden, it's a habit. So you see how it goes from the thought to entertaining the thought to having an attitude about something. And then I start acting based upon this. And now, all of a sudden, I have established a habit, and this habit is actually a stronghold, and that's exactly what we read about here in 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4 and 5. So, you know, we keep on doing these things all the time. But you know how it is, you know, people say, oh, I fell in sin. Well, we don't fall into sin, you know, it's planned, it's meditated on before it happens. You know, and I may start already Monday morning and thinking that, you know, this Friday, I'm going to do this thing. Okay. And then it's like, well, you know, I can always repent and ask forgiveness. And it's true. I mean, we can always ask forgiveness, but we should not entertain these things. You know, that this is who I am. This is, you know, the way things are. I should not do that. And we need to be careful to not allow these thoughts to be established. We read here, we should cast them down. The moment they come, we recognize them. It's like, oh, no, that's not from God. We discern it because we have the Word of God dwelling in us and say, it's not right. Don't stop there. Don't park there. Don't meditate on it. Cast it down. Because if you cast it down, it cannot be established, and it cannot control your life. And, you know, in 1 John 1:9, it says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think that is absolutely fantastic. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what he wants to do. So listen to this. God doesn't condemn us. And God is not angry with us. You know, God is angry with Satan, and God is angry with sin. But he's not angry with his children. And there is a big difference there. So we should keep that in mind. And even if we keep doing something over and over again, you know, there is a stronghold in my mind, there is a way of thinking, it's a habit, you know, and I keep falling or failing or both in that area over and over again, it's not the end of the world. You know, it's not the end of the world. But what frustrates God, if we can talk in human terms like that, is that we are hindered from reaching our spiritual potential. And that's what God is concerned about. It's not like he's shocked or surprised or disappointed. He knows the end from the beginning, but he doesn't like the fact that we don't live in our spiritual potential. So that is how we detect a stronghold. First we define it, then we detect it, and we know it's there. And the third thing I want to share, and the last thing, is that we want to demolish the strongholds. You know, the Bible talks about fantasies. In Jeremiah, I believe that it's written about it 8 times, that they walked in the imagination of their hearts. Mm-hmm. What is the imagination of their hearts? It's fantasies, you know, like we know what reality is like, but we don't really like it. So instead, we start entertaining something that we know is not really true. And we stick to that, and we stay to that, or stay with that, and it goes on and on. And we have a wrong reasoning. And this is what we need to do. We need to correct our thinking. Our thinking is the problem. Everything starts in the mind. That's why Satan wants to attack the mind. And that's why it is so important that we learn the Bible, learn the Word of God, learn it not just randomly here and there. I need to learn it in a particular context of the local church where I can grow as a particular member in the body. And as I do that, you know, God will establish in my mind something that is stronger than the stronghold. It's a stronghold, but it's not Satan's stronghold. It's God's stronghold. And this is what we love. And in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, it says there that we should renew our minds, not be conformed to this world. If we don't renew our minds, we automatically conform to this world, meaning that we become like this world. We talk like this world. We act like this world. We think like this world, and so on. But if I renew my mind, God can establish something in my mind, in my heart, where I can be an overcomer. So how do we correct our thinking? Well, first of all, we need to realize that this is reality. You know, there are strongholds, there are problems, and then we need to identify it. We need to be honest about it, saying that, not saying that, oh, that's just the way I am. You know, I hear that all the time. I probably say it myself too. Oh, that's just who I am. No, that's how my stronghold have made me act. But it's not who I am. You know, it who I am, I find in 2 Corinthians 5:17, I am a new creation. I am a new creation. So I'm acting out of character, but, you know, and I act in the flesh, in my fallen nature. So we realize it, we identify it, and we also find the source. And I want to say this very carefully. I'm not going to speak many more minutes, but I want to say this carefully. When I say that we are to look for the source, I do not mean that we should go back in and into our soul and make a journey there. You know, like some people, they are digging out the past. You know, I know that if I can just find out, you know, what happened to me, you know, when I was young and all that, I will be able to be set free. Be careful, because, you know, in space you have black holes. You know, this material that can soak in everything. I mean, it's so powerful that it even soaks in the light. And it's the same thing with our fallen soul. It's the same thing, meaning that it's just taking everything. If I go near my old me, it will just attract all these things. So in other words, I go there, and all these bad things that I thought that if I can just find out why they're there, I find 10 other things or 100 other things, and it's just adding up. And usually when people take that journey, what happens is that they end up being worse off than they were from the beginning. So be careful with analyzing the old life. The answer to the old life is not analyzing it. The answer to the old life is very clear in the Bible: crucifixion. It can only be crucified, and we can only recognize that when Christ died, I died with him. When he was buried, I was buried with him. When he was resurrected, I was resurrected with him. When he ascended, I ascended with him. When he sat down on the Father's right-hand side, I sat down with him. All the things that happened to Christ also happened to me. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's who I am. You know, the flesh will never recognize that. The flesh says more education, more information, more analyzing of the old. But you know what? It's a dead end. I'm not getting anywhere. Don't analyze the past, crucify the past. Recognize that it's been crucified. And this is how we can demolish a stronghold. And we need to take up the weapons that God has prepared for us. What are those weapons, just in closing? First of all, the Word of God. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly, Colossians 3:16. I realized just lately, well, I have realized it before, but then you forget it, and you know, it's like the importance of reading the Word of God. Because sometimes we read about the Word of God, read commentaries, we need Christian literature, you know, Christian books, you know, and it's okay. And then we read Christian newspapers, you know, and all that, and we are informing ourselves about this and that. But do I read the Word of God? I look at myself sometimes, how much do I read the Word of God? But when I read the Word of God, I know one thing, I grow. It's a supernatural encounter. There are only two things that are eternal in this life. Number one, the Word of God. Number two, the human soul. So we need to connect the Word of God and the human soul. When we do that, we are living in the plan and the purpose of God. Because he wants the eternal souls to be connected to the eternal word, and that will change people's destinations. Okay, so that's how we demolish a stronghold. We recognize that we need the Word of God, and we have the name of Jesus. And when I say the name of Jesus, it's not like, hey, walking around, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And we think it's like a magic formula. You know, that we can use, you know, and say that, you know, it's like when we do something in the name of somebody, it means that we act in the character and nature of that person. So when I say we do it in the name of Jesus, it doesn't mean that I pronounce certain words and, you know, it will change everything. Like, you know, I just snap my fingers. It simply means that the Word of God has taken root so much in my soul that now I am actually able to act based on his character, and that is definitely the name above all other names. In Acts 4:12 it says that there is no other name by which we can be saved but the name of Jesus. And then we have the blood. You know, the blood, the Bible speaks a lot about the blood of Jesus. Same thing there. You have people walking around and saying all the time, you know, that, you know, I plead the blood of Jesus. And, you know, the blood of Jesus has already been shed abroad once and for all. We are under the covering of the blood. We are under the protection of the blood. We don't need to claim that or anything. But We do need to understand that in the blood there is perfect forgiveness and there is perfect restoration. Because it says that if we don't apply the blood, meaning that we believe that the moment I confess my sin, I'm perfectly cleansed, forgiven, and I can move on without a bad conscience. Because in Hebrews 9:14, it says that if I don't do that, I live in condemnation, and my condemnation will actually produce dead works. That's religion in a nutshell, meaning that I don't feel that God has done enough. I need to do something more. And out of, or based on rather, my condemnation, I go out there and I produce dead works. And it says they have no place in God's economy, not whatsoever, because it's forgiveness and it's complete, and we don't need to say anything more about that. So the last thing that we could consider a weapon against this stronghold is the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4 says that he who dwells in us is greater than he who dwells in the world. So in other words, whatever this world comes up with, and whatever this world comes against us with, it is no match for him who dwells in us, namely the Holy Spirit. So we know that we have the equipment. And let's just close with 1 John chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, you think that it is his will that strongholds will be pulled down? Yes, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So, in other words, this is amazing. This is what God has given us. What a fantastic God we have. If we pray about anything, and we say we have these strongholds, I understand what they are. They are actually a place that I'm escaping to, or I'm running to seek shelter from reality. If I understand that, I define it as such, and then I detect it. I said, I have maybe one of these things, or two or three or more, whatever, I detect it. I also know how to pull them down. And we have the weapons to do this thing. And we shared some of those things here, and it's amazing. So we have powerful weapons against these spiritual strongholds. And if we apply them, it will happen. So I am all excited about this thing. And you know, whatever we struggle with this in life, don't let that over. We should not let that overtake us, because believe me, we have something much better, something much greater, and these weapons, you know, they are powerful. They are capable of pulling down these strongholds. So we should not give up. You know, even if I fail 100 times, 1,000 times, 10,000 times, and we do in some cases, that we should not use that as an excuse and say, that's who I am, that's just the way it is. No, it is a lie that I run to every time, and I hide behind it. But he says, if we allow these things to take place, these things can change, they will change, and God is much more powerful than even the most powerful strongholds out there. There are 45 castles in our minds, but they can be pulled down. He has the weapons that are needed in order to do so. So, Lord, we thank you, God, for this teaching concerning spiritual strongholds. We need to define them. We need to understand what they are. We also need to detect them, because they are there in our lives, and you can give us discernment to understand what they are. But we also need to demolish them, and you have given us everything that we need in order to do that. So Lord, we thank you for these thoughts. Bless them as we go, and we ask you, God, to just enlighten our hearts to understand these verses and these thoughts that we have shared in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.